Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles Weekly Sermons.
Lord, bless Master, him that proclaimeth the gospel of the Holy Apostle and Evangelist Mark. Shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one at thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal, shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given unto them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard of it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it is not among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For when the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. At that time, one of the Pharisees desired that Jesus would eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and another 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them shall love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast judged rightly. And he turned to the woman and saith unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace.
She tried to get into the church again, and she said that the same force which seemed to be stopping her before, in this case, seemed to clear a path so that she was able to walk with ease into the church and to go and to venerate the Holy Cross. And having done that, she left the church, returned to the icon of the Theotokos, in front of which she had made her vow, and gave thanks to God, and went out, crossed the Jordan River, wandered off into the Jordanian desert, and lived there for 47 years, and no one saw her for 47 years. And at the end of 47 years, she was discovered by a monk of the Judean wilderness, Father Zosimos, who found her, and it's to him that she told her story. She told him what had happened, what her life had been like, the vow she had made, the way she had been allowed to go into the church. And then, after leaving the church, how she had walked off into the desert and had fought with her own passions and sins for 47 years, all alone, no one seeing her struggle but God and the angels. And Zosimos knew that he was in the presence of a holy person. He knew, first of all, because of the radical nature of her repentance. But he also knew because God revealed it to him in several cases. She didn't have any copies of any books at all. She didn't even have clothes to cover her body with, so Zosimos had to give her his cloak just so she could stop and talk to him, because she ran away because she was naked. She had nothing, utter and complete poverty, and yet she would quote to him the Holy Scriptures. Word for word, she would tell him, she would quote the Holy Scriptures and then explain them to him. And she would pray, standing in the air, and Zosimos was terrified and he fell down on his face. So God also allowed these things to happen so that Zosimos would realize that he was in the presence of a holy person. But it's this firm resolve that St. Seraphim was talking about, which was capable of bringing her from the point of being a voluntary prostitute to the point of being one of the great saints of the church. It's exemplified again by this woman that we read about in St. Luke's Gospel here, who came into the Pharisee's house when the Lord had been invited in to eat, and she took the alabaster box of ointment. And as the Lord sat at the table with the Pharisee, she's weeping. And she washes his feet with her tears, and wipes them with the hairs of her own head, and kisses his feet and anoints them with the ointment. I think to us it's kind of a strange sight. Back then it would have been maybe a little more common. To us it sounds kind of odd. But if you imagine a desert area where everyone's wearing sandals, the first rule of hospitality is whenever someone goes on a journey and they come into your house, you give them water to wash their feet. Their feet are filthy, their feet are tired. Sometimes if you just wash your feet, you feel 10 times better. So anyway, the Pharisee had neglected to do this. Maybe he was excited. We can't be too hard on him. Maybe he was thrilled. Maybe he was like, oh, the master's coming to my house. And he ushers him in and introduces him to his family and sits him down at the table and just kind of basically forgets. Whatever the case is, he's sitting at table with Christ, and this woman shows this firm resolve. She recognizes something about Christ. Her sins, we are told, are many, and they are similar to the sins of St. Mary of Egypt. And yet, in this solitary act of repentance, she desires to turn away from all of that and to reform her life, to change. And so she sits there weeping over her sins, wiping the Lord's feet with her hair, and anointing it with this very expensive oil. And so whenever the Pharisee thinks within himself, if this man were a prophet, he's beginning to doubt Christ because of the fact that he's tolerating this kind of thing from this woman. If this man were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman it is that is touching him. She's unclean. She shouldn't even be allowed to touch him. She is a sinner. And then Jesus asks him this question. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, one who owed 500 pence and the other 50, and neither one of them could pay, so he forgave them both. Which one will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he who was forgiven the most. And Jesus goes on to say, you're correct. Now here's what the parable really means. It means that you have not loved me as much as this woman has. You didn't even bother to give me water to wash my feet, and yet she has not ceased to wash my feet with her tears. And he says, and Christ says, her sins, which are many, he doesn't neglect that, he doesn't ignore it, he doesn't gloss it over, but he does say they are forgiven because she loved much. The love that this woman had in her heart for Christ, the love that she had for God, the desire that she had to be turned away from her wicked way of life, gave her this firm resolve to turn away and to live according to the commandments of God from that time forward. Brothers and sisters, I think sometimes we get very casual about our repentance. Those of you who were here last night heard me saying this already. We get casual about our repentance. We prepare ourselves for confession and we think, well, you know, here's the same things. I have to confess them again. Well, that's true. If you commit the same sins over again, then you should confess them again. But how many of us really have a firm resolve, have a firm intention to go out from the church and to fight tooth and nail not to repeat the sins which we have had to confess? How many of us do that? How many of us truly desire to be freed from our sins? Or how often is it an excuse for us? Well, I confessed it again, and I confessed it 5 times now. I guess I'll just have to confess it next time too. Does it not become an excuse for us to go back and fall into the same sins over again? The resolve of the ancient Christians that St. Seraphim talks about would not allow them to do that. In fact, in the ancient church, when you came forward for baptism, there was no confession after that. It was understood. You went into the font and you came out and you did not sin again. That was the zeal of the ancient Christians. That was the resolve that they had. They would rather die in fire and by being cut to pieces than sin one more time after their baptism. That's why Constantine the Great wasn't baptized till the end of his life. Because he knew as an emperor he was going to have to do certain things and he couldn't repent of them. It would be a hypocrisy to take baptism and then to go on and order the execution of prisoners or something like that. But the ancient Christians lived with this tremendous zeal, so much so that they would subject themselves to martyrdom before they would repeat their sins that they had repented of. Of course, over time, that became unmanageable for both of us, so the church appointed that we confess our sins. Initially publicly, in the original practice of confession, it was a public confession, which again, if you had to do that, how often before you would repeat your sins? And then later on, it was made private because of our weakness. But nevertheless, we have 2 weeks left of this fast. We have fasted already for 5 weeks, and we have 2 weeks left. This coming week ahead of us, and then we have Holy Week. And if we have not already made the resolve to turn away from our sins and to fix our heart on the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow Him even to the point of our own deaths, then now is the time to make that commitment. It's not enough for us to say, well, I made the commitment and I went into the baptismal font. Well, I made the commitment last Saturday whenever I went to confession. It is time for us to stop being lazy as Christians. The time of our salvation, as St. Paul says, is nearer than when we first believed. And so, brothers and sisters, let us apply ourselves during the next 2 weeks and thereafter to turn away from our sins, to repent truly, to resolve firmly within our hearts not to repeat them. If we have been judging people, to stop judging. If we have been offended, not to take offense. If we have gossiped, to not speak idly. To speak only well of other people and never to speak ill. To turn completely away and to be truly renewed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to fulfill what we read in the Gospel reading or the epistle reading to the Romans at the baptismal service, to truly die with Christ, so that we truly rise together with Him. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship, to ages and ages.
Amen.